from the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Every day recently, local counties are reporting record numbers of COVID-19 cases and a rising number of hospitalizations and deaths. Columbia County broke all of its COVID-19 records with its January 10th announcement, reporting 335 new cases and three more deaths. Columbia County has 18 hospitalized with coronavirus and three in intensive care. Across the Hudson River, Greene County reported 276 more cases on January 10th and three more deaths. Currently, 41 Greene County residents are hospitalized with COVID-19. Mike Goodwin in the Times Union reported that Albany County is now averaging almost 1,000 new coronavirus cases a day. On January 10th, Albany County reported 1,115 new positive cases, making the county's seven-day average of new daily positive cases 966. Albany County Executive Dan McCoy said, and I quote, "This is the third consecutive day that I've had to report new daily COVID infections well above 1,000, a trend that is likely to continue. Unfortunately, we're seeing hospitalizations moving in the wrong direction as well. And we now have the most county residents currently in the hospital with the virus since February 4th, end quote. Currently, there are 122 Albany County residents with the virus in the hospital, with 13 people in intensive care. Meanwhile, in Ulster County, the Daily Freeman reported that almost a third of the Ulster County Jail's 104 correction officers, 8 of the sheriff's 57 full-time deputies, and 19 of the jail's 152 inmates have COVID-19 as of January 8th. Ulster County Sheriff Juan Figueroa said of the jail, and I quote, "It's a petri dish. It's unfortunate sheriff's offices throughout the region are going through this issue, and we just can't move our inmates to any other locations," end quote. Figueroa said he will cancel no contact visits this week and is likely to close a special housing unit for inmates with opioid addiction. Correction officers who are not infected are working three or four double shifts in a row, according to the sheriff. Figueroa also said that inmates with underlying medical conditions who are within 30 days of the end of their sentences will likely be released early. He said, and I quote, "We are obligated, of course, and we will continue to do the job we are assigned to do with what we have," end quote. The corrections officers there are not mandated to be vaccinated, and Figueroa estimated that only 55% of sheriff office employees are vaccinated. By contrast, about 71% of Ulster County residents are fully vaccinated. Pat Doxey is reporting for the Daily Freeman. Democratic lawmakers January 10th asked Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro to enforce the county's COVID safety guidance after Republicans, including Majority Leader Will Truitt and Legislature Clerk Lee Wagner, declined to wear masks during the legislature's January 4th organizational meeting. In their letter, the 8-member Democratic caucus asked the executive to enforce the CDC recommendations and the county's own guidance urging that masks be worn in all indoor public places, including the county office building. That recommendation states that masks are recommended in substantial or high transmission areas, and I quote, "even if you are vaccinated," end quote. The Dutchess County Health Department also recommends masks be worn in indoor public spaces. According to the press release, in addition to Truitt and Wagner, Republican legislator Mike Polasek declined to wear a mask during the meeting. Chair Greg Pulver, who was seated next to Wagner on the dais, did not direct the three to put on their mask and removed his mask while conducting the meeting. At the end of the meeting, Pulver was asked to address the issue of legislators and staff not wearing masks, and the chairperson said lawmakers should, and I quote, use your common sense and don't go within 6 feet of those not wearing masks, end quote. Molinaro spokesperson Colleen Pillis said questions about the legislature's actions should be directed to Pulver. But she added, and I quote, "My understanding is that legislators who attend in person for the legislature's upcoming meetings, with the next being the committee meeting on Thursday, January 13th, will be wearing masks," end quote. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Andrea Mako is reporting for Porcupine Soup that Hunter Mountain Ski Bowl has taken legal action alleging trademark infringement against the Mountain Creek Inn, which is also known as Hunter Mountain Resort. The matter was filed in December in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of New York against the resort located on Route 23A in Hunter and its owner, Valentina Glebova. The ski resort alleges the defendants, and I quote, "provide low-budget and inferior lodging services comprised of a few small cabins," end quote, and I quote, "are offering such services under a name and sign that are virtually identical to the Hunter Mountain marks," end quote. Hunter Mountain accuses the business of deliberately setting out to lead consumers into believing the inn is affiliated or associated with the ski resort, citing its use of a, and I quote, "confusingly similar," end quote, design mark on the inn sign. According to court papers, the defendants failed to respond to two cease and desist letters sent in July and August of 2020. The lawsuit alleges, and I quote, "over the last year, there have been numerous instances of people arriving at plaintiff's Hunter Mountain lodging believing that they have reserved accommodations with plaintiff when in fact they have reserved accommodations for defendant's facilities," end quote. Hunter Mountain Ski Bowl opened in January 1960 and is now part of the Colorado-based Vail Resorts Network. It is looking to recover damages as well as cost, attorney fees, and more, according to the complaint. Hunter Mountain Ski Bowl is represented by the Davis Gilbert firm of New York City. And you can read the full story at porcupinesoup.com. Nick Reisman is reporting for State of Politics. Rich Azzopardi, a longtime spokesperson and advisor for former Governor Andrew M. Cuomo, announced January 10th the formal launch of his new public relations firm, Bulldog Strategies. The firm will handle, and I quote, "communications, crisis communications, and policy advancement," end quote, according to the announcement. As a party said, and I quote, "I've never shied away from the tough challenges, as few battles worth waging are easy. Experience and expertise matter, and if you hire Bulldog Strategies, you will get a battle-tested and relentless advocate who will fight tooth and nail for you," end quote. Cuomo is expected to remain an Azzopardi client. He served as Cuomo's senior advisor and communications director for more than 9 years. Since Cuomo's resignation in late August, Azzopardi has continued to work as the former governor's spokesperson. Before entering politics, Azzopardi was a reporter. His first job was with the Register-Star in Hudson, covering police and courts, writing on a variety of topics from sexual misconduct by priests and correction officers, new restaurant openings, drug busts, the arrest of Alf's TV father, and others. He went on to write for the Berkshire Eagle in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and the Daily Gazette in Schenectady before joining the State Senate Democratic Conference as an assistant press secretary to begin his political ascent. Read the full story at nystateofpolitics.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.